Welcome back to the Run Strong podcast with me, Gary House. It's been a while, so yeah, it's been probably 6 weeks at least since I uploaded a podcast after doing so well. So to the four or five of you that have messaged me or asked me on the Q&As, I do apologise. I haven't really got any kind of excuse really, apart from the fact that I just got a bit bored of the podcasts that were coming out recently. I'm a massive fan of podcasts. I listen to them all the time. I've learned a massive amount. I've laughed a lot. But once lockdown hit, they just all became kind of the same chat, the same talk. And it just bored me, if I was honest. So I didn't want to add to that. There was a couple of exceptions to the rule. I loved the Centurion daily updates with James and Dan. And it was funny getting a little bit of a mention on that. The other exception to the rule has been TRS, Tartan Running Shorts. So if you don't already listen to those podcasts, I would get onto them. And although they did mention the lockdown, it wasn't really offering advice or, yeah, just it was a bit of fun involved too. So for any of you that did enjoy the last couple of podcasts, I will be doing some more walk talk ones in future. But I just didn't want them to kind of centre around the current situation we were in. There was plenty of other people talking about that. Maybe others doing a better job than me. The future podcasts, I've done a couple of interviews already, so that's quite exciting. Today's podcast, this is kind of a long introduction to my friend's interview with Owen Thomas, who has just completed a full year of running every day. Which for me, it's been quite fun and enjoyable watching him kind of grow as a runner. He has fun with his running, and I know people have done run streaks before. It's not really anything new, but the way he's gone about it has been really good. He's also raced during this time, so he's not just ran a minimum amount. He's done 5Ks, he's done ultras. He's been a big advocate of the Ransing. He's got involved in that. He's got other people involved in that. I met him quite a few years ago now at the Equinox 24-hour race, and it was just one of those guys that I've always kind of kept in touch with. Social media is very good for that, mainly on Instagram. We chatted regularly. So, yeah, it was great to have him as a guest and chat about all things in his year and his running journey up to now. So that is coming up today. My own running has been pretty solid, actually, which I know a lot of people are feeling kind of guilty about speaking to them. I've had the most solid 6 to 8 weeks of training in a long time. Maybe that's because there hasn't been any race on the horizon. But yeah, any kind of training that I've had has gone really well. I felt really strong with my strength work. Luckily, just before lockdown, the month before that, I got the gym kind of set up in the garage. So I've been able to keep up with that. My focus has mainly been on just building the strength for any kind of mountain races that come up in the future. I was listed on the start line for the Mont Blanc 90K in June, and I was also down for the TDS, which is part of the UTMB week. It's basically the tougher version of the UTMB, more technical terrain, although the UTMB lads won't kind of enjoy that. Now I know they're both gone, they're both cancelled. I can race them next year if I want. I'm not too disappointed about that because the main reasons were going for the holiday, the atmosphere, getting out into the mountains to kind of prepare. And even if they had ran those races, they wouldn't have been the same kind of race that I signed up for. I'm quite happy with the decision about cancelling and kind of doing the same thing next year. On the back of that now, my own personal challenge, I've got a couple coming up, I think. Immediate future, today is Bank Holiday Monday, but I will be taking part in the Centurion 100 Mile Week, it's the one community week. You can run anything from 5K to 100 miles, different distances over the week, and you can try and run it in your fastest time, or you can just accumulate that distance over the week. So a few weeks ago, that did give me a bit of kind of focus, something fun to work towards. I've also got winter my four-year-old taking part in the 10K. We're going out for our first run today for that. Charlotte, my wife, is taking part in the marathon, and she's not a runner at all. She's completed her first 10K this morning, which was mainly walking. And then Wilder's just going to kind of, he's two, so he's acting as support crew, to be honest. My own challenge, I mean, at first it was going to be 100 miles. I spoke with my coach, and then rather than run just 100 miles over the week, I really wanted to add in a vertical challenge into it. So we agreed on 10,000 metres of climb vertical during the week. I'm based in Wales, so I still cannot drive to any exercise or running. So I'm running from the back door every time. So I could accumulate that from the back door with some planning, to be honest, but it would have been a good challenge, 10,000 metres. Dragon's Back last year was 5 days and about 15,000 metres, so it's well within kind of my capability. It would just be a really good challenge for a training week. As it got a bit closer, we've kind of morphed that now. I dropped the vertical challenge and kind of pressured myself into doing the 100 miles in one go, which I just think as I got more excited about the event, I needed to push myself a little bit more. I've only completed one 100 miler. It didn't go well. You can listen to that podcast about the Centurion Autumn 100. I've DNF'd at four other 100 milers, and it's just strange because I've completed five or six 24-hour races ranging between 100 miles to 135 miles in that time. So it's not necessarily the distance. So on Friday, I'm going out starting at 6 a.m. I'll have dropped some supplies on the Thursday, and I'm challenging myself to run 100 miles unsupported. It's roughly on around a 5K to 7K trail loop, depending what I do with it. There is a little bit of climb, not too much. And I haven't really got a time in mind. It's just, I think that's an extra challenge. Can you run 100 miles? I know I can run 100 miles. Can I run 100 miles without the pressure of a race? And I'm only 20 minutes from home. So if in theory I could just DNF and walk home and nobody would ever know. I guess this is my way of putting it out there that I'm going to attempt it. I don't know what's going to happen, to be honest. The only time I've ran that kind of distance has been in a race. So yeah, it's just a fun challenge for myself. I'm looking forward to it. I've enjoyed the planning, picking a location because I do live in the hills. There's no way I could run it on the complete flat. And if I was to run it on the lanes, which would be the flattest, I wouldn't enjoy it. So I've picked a nice location. I think I can run around for 7K, maybe 5K. For 100 miles. So I'll see how that goes after that. Treating it like a race, so there'll be some recovery involved, obviously. And then we'll be hopefully got some more freedom in Wales soon, and I can get out into the mountains and start kind of planning for my Paddy Buckley round, which is the next kind of target. Again, no real kind of date set yet. It will depend when we can, when I'm allowed out basically into the mountains. Still got to stick by the rules. Even when we can drive to train or run, I'm not sure if I'll be able to do a full round straight away. I'll just have to play by the rules, but I'm hoping to get a small amount of recces in. I also know some other people that are going to be doing the Paddy Buckley round this year, so it might be a chance to catch up with those. That's what I'm up to. Hopefully everybody is having kind of making the best of what they've got right now. There is lots of positivity around, I know that for sure. There's also quite a lot of people feeling guilty right now about training and doing well, and that's to be expected. But I would just say, don't feel too guilty about it. If you're in a lucky position like I am right now, my family hasn't been kind of directly affected by anything, apart from the fact that we're all under the same roof, obviously 24/7. Don't feel guilty about making the best of a bad situation. That's what I would say. I've reiterated to my group now that They really need to be focusing on kind of the main reason why they started running, because these big races are not going to happen for a long time now. But that's okay. If you're struggling to get out the door, I get people asking me about mojo and how to get started again. And I just ask them to make a list of all the reasons why you would be doing it, the benefits of doing it. And then next to it, write all the reasons or the kind of the outcomes of them not doing it. Yeah. And just thinking through, I know it might sound kind of simple, but once you start to physically write down the kind of the what will happen if you don't do it, if you don't get out the door, hopefully that will work. Most people that are coming, that are runners, and they've missed running over the last 6 to 8 weeks, they might have kind of ate some crappy food, drank some more ale, some more wine, and are just not feeling great about themselves. Look, the only way you can fix that is by taking action. And it's not by words, it's not by motivational quotes and things like that. You need to get out for that first walk or run. I'm a massive fan of walking at the minute. For people, if you're used to being able to run for an hour and you're worried that you won't be able to do that, just go out with the kind of thought process, I'm just going for an hour's walk. Yeah. This is all about trying to get you to feel better about yourself. It's not about times. It's not about races right now. Everyone just wants to feel better about themselves, and that's one of the best ways. Anyway, that is a quite long intro today into Owen's interview. It will be broken into two, because once we got talking, I think it was close to 2 hours, and I'm no Joe Rogan, so I will break it up into two for you. I hope you enjoy the first part of this interview with Owen. Give him a follow on Instagram, and I'll put all the links in the show notes. But any questions, feel free to ask me. You can always send me a DM. If you've got any ideas for guests, just let me know. If you are listening to this and you would love a conversation with me, which has happened in the past, just reach out and I'll get you on. No problem at all. Right. Have a good week, everyone. This is my interview with Owen Thomas. Right. So I'll speak and then I'll jump in, mate. I'll let you jump in. How do you want me to pronounce Thomas?
Tomas.
Right, I have got Owen Thomas on the line. I tell you what, his Welsh is probably better than mine, even though I live here. But
No, I'm rubbish at Welsh, mate.
Yeah, he's got a Welsh name, but he's that's about where it starts and finishes, I think, with Owen. But he's just done his 366th day of running on a run streak. I'd arranged to catch up with him. It's 366 days. We're celebrating 366 because that is an official year this year, because he didn't want anyone calling him out on the fact that it was a leap year.
Unfortunately, there are people like that, though, isn't there?
There are, and I reckon you've done the right thing, actually. If you've gone out to do a year, you don't want that lingering over you, do you? It's a bit like, if Liverpool win the Premier League this year, they're going to have it hung over them if they don't finish.
Well, it's, yeah.
Anyway.
It's one of those things.
I'm going to read out some stats for you, and I will, I've got to confess, Owen put these stats up on Instagram today, so he's kind of done it for me. But here are the stats. Over the 366 days, he's raced over various distances, from 36-hour ultramarathons, marathons, all the way down to 5K. So it's not just been about running every day. He's actually took part in lots of races. He's completed 2,323 miles and 1,017 miles just this year in 2020. He's gotten quicker, breaking his 1 mile and 10K PBs. He's also got very close to his lifetime 5K PB. And in his own words, feels stronger, fitter, and definitely in a better place for my running. And touch wood, he's not been injured or ill, which I think I sent you a message a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it? Maybe a month ago, seeing if you would jump on a call with me. But I nearly didn't send it because I didn't want to say, right, let's have a celebratory podcast.
You want to jinx me?
Didn't want to jinx you too much. But the way you'd been going about it, I didn't see anything, any problems. So, Owen, you fill in. That's what you've done this year. You tell me a bit about yourself on top of that, if you can.
So, I started running back in 2010 when I needed a change of life. As most people you could probably come across, Gary, you always need that trigger inside for you to change your lifestyle. And I was one of those majorly obese 30-year-olds at the time. I was 20 stone. So I started running in 2010 when I got a London Marathon place. You know, it was one of those, I'll enter it. I won't get a place because it's a nightmare to get a ballot place. So it'll be all right. I got one. So that's how it started. And then it was the next challenge after that. What can I do, which is more than the marathon? I went into ultras back in 2012. And I've just been racing and running mid-pack. You know, I'm not ashamed to say I'm not an elite. I'm an average Joe, but I'm out there proving every day that even people like me can still do remarkable things, as well as, you know, change your own life and all that sort of stuff. So that's what I do. That's what I'm about. I like to try and pass a positive note to people, even when you have a bad day, because I think if I could bring one smile to someone's face, then, you know, the world's a better place. So and you do that with your posts, Gary. You always bring a smile to me, especially when you know, don't do something silly like your reality Instagram stuff or your aunt, and you know, it makes me smile, and already the world's a better place for it. So, you know, that's what I try to do. And that's a bit about me, really. Anything else you want?
Yeah, back in 2010 then, because I know you've done a lot in, I get, well, 10 years is, I guess, it's a long running career now. But back in 2010, you said, because, yeah, you were really overweight, and you were 30 then, is that right?
I was 32 in 2010.
So when you're 32 and overweight, what was the kind of, what was the driving factor to kind of throw your hat in the ring for the London Marathon? Because that's quite a big, it's quite a big jump from being where you've been in the previous 10 years, I guess.
Yeah, so what it was, my two brothers stitched me up, really. It was a charity, like, obstacle race down in Exeter, down at the Commando Training Centre near Exeter.
Yeah.
It was called the Commando Challenge, in fact. And I thought, I'll be able to wing that, you know. It was only supposed to be the 5K. And I said, yeah, I can wing that, not a problem. Find out on the day that they stitched me up for the 7-mile race. And I died after the first mile. I haven't done any training.
Yeah.
I literally died on my ass on the first try. And we were going in and out of bogs and all that sort of stuff. And then I saw that one of the race pictures afterwards. And I still got it on my phone today because it keeps reminding me of what I was. And I was this big balloon of a guy. And I not long got married and stuff. And that sort of, well, I was getting married at the point, sorry. I was like, oh, we're going to want a family, and I don't want to be that fat dad running around the, you know, the park out of breath, can't play football with my kid or whatever it was going to be at the time. And that was like the defining moment. I was like, right, I want to change my life, but I didn't know what to do as such. And then I happened to enter the bath, and you know what it's like. For some people, we sit there, we watch the London Marathon, you get sucked in, don't you? I'll enter that. I'll enter that. Not realizing that actually might come true. And then it came true, and that was it. I was like, right, I'm going to have to train properly for this. 6 days a week, followed a marathon plan. And lost almost 8 stone.
And was there anyone around you in the running world or anything? Or was it just literally, I've got into London Marathon, so I'm going to have to go and do it? Because you are saying it, the way you're saying it is like, almost underplaying it a little bit, because some people go for years and worry and want to enter a marathon but want to build up to it and things like this. Whereas you seem to be, you just entered it, and if you can, and if you come up with a place, then you'll just do it. But were you? Was there the nerves there about it all? Was there?
I had bags of nerves, and I'm still a bag of nerves now pre-race. I'm known as a race zilla, according to my wife. I'm a nightmare before races. No matter what distance, 5Ks, 10Ks, marathons, yeah, whatever. I'm a horrible person night before because I'm so nervous. Once I start running, it's a different kettle of fish. But when it came to the marathon, I wasn't surrounded by runners. I didn't have a running club that I was part of or anything like that. It was a case of, oh, bollocks, I've got a place, I'm going to have to do this. But luckily, I had a best mate who decided, although he didn't get a place, he was going to train with me.
Great.
And so he did. And he ended up running the Dutchie Marathon, which is a marathon in Cornwall, slightly more tougher than the London Marathon, as in terrain and stuff. Yeah. And he ran his first marathon in 3:42. And he was like me, you know, straight off the couch. We trained together 6 days a week, lost weight. We both did it. And he went and smashed his first marathon as well. So I think having him there as well definitely helped. And obviously the support of my wife, who was pregnant at the time.
So she was pregnant at the time as well.
Yeah, she was traipsing around London, 8th month pregnant. wasn't good. it wasn't good for her, bless her. Especially when I left her on the tube. I jumped on the train and she didn't get on the train.
Yeah.
On the tube station. And I'd gone and she's still, luckily my best mate was still on the platform with her because they managed to catch up. I was like, oh, bollocks, what's going on? But I had support, which was the main thing. If I was totally by myself, I probably would have not done as well as I did, or would have been half-hearted.
What was that first run like? What was that first run like on day one? What can you remember? What you did or what you planned to do? Was it easier than you thought? Was it horrendous?
It wasn't horrendous, but it wasn't easy. And I remember the route my mate planned out. So we started from his house, and it was obviously it was about a 20-minute run was the first one, and it involved some walking. But there was a hill. It wasn't a great steep hill, but it was a long one, and for my weight and fitness level, it became my nemesis.
Yeah.
And every so often we'd chuck that in, and that until we eventually I was running up there and it wasn't a problem. And then we'd find a new hill to go to conquer.
And that was like your yardstick almost. That
goal kept on moving as I was increasing my training got more intense, more longer and stuff like that. So was the nemesis. So we went from that hill to another hill and to another hill and so forth.
When I'm coaching people in the group that are in a similar kind of environment situation, and that confidence is a big thing, and they will look to where they get their confidence from, or I'm low on confidence, because like when I'm coaching this certain group of people, their confidence is usually pretty low when they start out. And then they look outside of where these days it's social media and things.
Yeah.
They're looking, it might be a quote or it might be someone posting something about confidence. But I keep reminding them that the only, like in my view, the only way you build your confidence is through having evidence. And that's whether you know it or not, when you look back at that little bit of evidence that you ran up that same hill that you really struggled on again and again, and then it got easier, that is what's building your confidence.
Definitely. Before I got into the world of blogging and all this sort of stuff, I used Facebook to, they had a note section, and each day I'd write a new note on how that day went. Even if it was a rest day.
Yeah.
It'd be day 23, rest day. That was it. And then obviously the next day, I don't know, 40 minutes intervals or 40 minutes at marathon pace or whatever it was, that was in the program I was following. But I could see as I was obviously going through it, the progress.
Yeah.
And then I had a Casio watch because we didn't have smart watches back then. And I could see my times were falling down. The only way I knew how far I ran is because obviously I spent hours on the route planner measuring out the route.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
That this was it, you know, or going out in the car and driving the route.
Yeah.
And noting down how far you'd done.
Or using road signs. I remember that thinking it's 10 miles to so-and-so.
That's it. And that's it, you see. So, I mean, my mileage could have been absolute bollocks because, you know, what road signs are like and the accuracy of stuff. I might not have actually run as far as I did, or I might have run further. Mm. But what you said about seeing that progress is exactly right. And, you know,
everyone has that, gave me
the confidence, you know. And I don't care if no one reads any of my blogs or reads any of my Instagrams. It's mainly for me to see how well I've done. It's the same for this run streak. It was a way of me documenting my journey. I think that's important for a lot of people. They need to, even if it goes to the old school logbooks, our lodger here, he's an old school runner. He's got logbooks after logbooks where he writes down, even though he's got a smartwatch and he syncs it to Strava or whatever, he logs it still down in a notebook.
Yeah.
Because he's old school, and that's what a lot of people did.
I think people have got it a little bit more difficult these days. It is a little bit by choice, but imagine if you were that guy again now, that 32-year-old guy, massively overweight kind of thing, and just luckily got into next year's London Marathon. I think back then, because it was the same with me, I came to running quite late in life, but I didn't have Facebook pressures, didn't have Instagram to compare anything with, didn't have Strava segment, didn't have Strava at all. There was none of that. I was, like you said, I followed a plan. I wrote stuff down, but it was more like almost like a diary kind of thing.
Exactly.
And it was almost because I'd read a book that was essentially someone's diary, and I was like, oh, this is what people do. But it was, in hindsight, you're self-coaching yourself as well. You get to learn things. And still now with my coach, we just use a basic, it's online, but it's not, it's essentially a diary. So it's written every day and it's just how I'm feeling, what we did, and that kind of thing. And yes, I'm on Strava and everything. But like you said, if you were that person now today, I think it's a lot more difficult, especially if you're online quite a lot.
Yeah, and I guess it's when you see people like to compare themselves nowadays to others, you know. So, for instance, they'll see, I know, their next door neighbor who's a runner out doing three training sessions a day because he's got a coach maybe, and he's smashing in the hill reps, he's smashing in the intervals, and they think, oh, I should be doing that. And they're trying to emulate him or copy him because they think he knows what he's doing, although you don't know, that's what he's been told to do. You know, so that's how people nowadays possibly spend, you know, time looking at people's Instagrams and getting the wrong information because it's not tailored to them. It's tailored to that person that's posting.
Yeah.
We never had that when you first start. We had, if you had a coach and you still had your coach telling you what to do, but you never had any distractions away from that. You followed a plan because you have no idea what else you're supposed to be doing and just getting on with it. And then you learn by mistakes instead of learning from other people's mistakes.
Yeah. There's still times now where people, again, using my coaching lot, that almost I'll know that the next 6 weeks of their training might not end well, which might sound daft as a coach kind of thing, but they might really want to do a couple of races that are too close together. They might really want to go off and do this kind of training. And there are still times now where I just almost let them do it, just so they have that learning process as well. And it's happened before, they'd throw in an extra race here and there, and it's like I'm not there to dictate them, especially early on when they're running. It's like, okay, go and do it, have fun. And then I'll probably lose a load of clients over this, but then I almost know that it's not going to end well. And it's not that they're going to get massively injured or anything. It might just end up in a bit of fatigue, or they might not perform very well and all that kind of thing. And then we can look back and say, right, let's not do that again, yeah, and then move on from it.
The thing is, though, if you don't let your child, I don't know, play in the dirty, muddy water, they're not going to know it's not very good for them if they try drinking it.
Yeah.
You know, they've got to, like your own children, they've got to learn by making mistakes. And it's the same for us as runners. You can have a coach, you can have a mentor, you can have an instructor telling you this or that. But if they don't let you make mistakes by yourself, you're not going to learn from them. If they're constantly pointing out you shouldn't be doing this, shouldn't be doing that, you just... It's something I learned because I've never been a running coach, but I was a judo coach for many years, and a lot of the time you just got to let your student or your client or whatever you want to call them self learn, yeah. You know, and you just guide them around those mistakes. You know, don't lead them into it, but you guide them around.
Because I'm not a coach that is. Would get angry if you didn't do the session that I asked you to do, because one, it's just guesswork. I keep telling this to people that, like, there's no coach out there that knows everything or can give you an absolute answer to anything, really. It's just guesswork. And yes, some of us might have been able to give you a better guess than others, but I need the people to be honest with me if they haven't done it. And if you're always on their back, then they just become, they're not honest with you. They tell you that they're doing this thing, but they're not.
Well, this is it. You're not an athletics coach that you're at the track, you're seeing your guys running around and you can pinpoint, oh, something's not quite right with his legs here. You're right, mate.
Yeah.
I was speaking to a very good friend of mine on one of my other on my podcast, and he's a Welsh athletics coach, and he was telling me all about this sort of stuff. You know, that, you know, you can tell when you're there, you know, what's going on with that person. Are they having a bad day? Because you learn to know them.
Yeah,
you get to know him, so you know whether, oh, he's got a bit of a limp. You're right there, mate. You know, or he's not running very well. It's not his usual self. Something, you know, you've got something going on. So there's a different type of coaches. You've got your hands-on coaches, which are there around the track pushing you on, and then you've got the coaches like yourself that you can't be everywhere given that one-on-one. So you got to sort of, you know, let them
on their feedback. Like we have every Monday, they have to feed back to me how their week's been, and not that they have to, but I always say, look, this will massively help me, and it'll help you. Because and then when they, at the end of the month, when they're feeding back to me, it's all about the feedback. If someone just says, went okay, then again, my guesswork is made a lot harder, I guess. If someone gives me loads of info every Monday, then yeah, just, you can get a bit better picture. And it is about how someone feels. Like getting back to your journey into the first marathon, I can tell, like, a lot of it was basically you were learning how it should feel, I guess.
That's exactly it. I didn't know any better.
Yeah.
So I had no idea about running techniques. I didn't know. I had all the gear, no idea. The standard, you know, rookie errors I was making. No idea about fueling. I was whacking gels down myself, jelly babies that's covered in that icing sugar, which then clogged up my mouth.
You nailed it then.
Oh. It was horrendous. you know, and yeah, you know, I ended up having injuries and what have you, and making the common schoolboy errors. And I, like you, from your errors that you've made in the past, you've learned from them. You know, I didn't have someone telling me, oh, you're doing that wrong, mate. No, you've learned from them. You know, if I had someone guiding me, maybe I might not have made as many mistakes. But I still would have made them. Yeah, I would have made mistakes.
You'd have just made different mistakes.
yeah, exactly that.
Yeah. The like, for people that can't see, well, everyone, that is, it's a podcast, but I'm on a video call with Owen. Like, sat behind you is half a wall, and it's full of your race numbers, right? Because I've seen this before, and if you go on his Instagram, you'll be able to see it. Like, there's one wall full of his race numbers from the races he's been in, but also you can also see that it's basically sat in a bar. So he's got Yeah. What are some of the drinks there?
Got that's my racing kit in there, yeah. And I've got my bar snacks there.
And that pretty much sums up yourself. Not like half alcoholic, half runner. What I'm saying is what I like about it is, like, I followed your Instagram for a long time as well, and it always makes me smile, because whether you're training, racing, whatever, there is that element of I'm going to have fun with it along the way. And it's not, because I've seen you ask questions, you were at the running show and things like this that was out January, so you obviously want to learn and better yourself, but it's also not the be all and end all. You're still having the fun with family, you're still having the odd drink here and there. It's a really good, well-rounded view of running, I think.
I think at the moment you lose why you're doing it and the reasons why you're doing it, is the moment you need to sit down and have a word with yourself, maybe in a mirror. If you're not enjoying it, if it's not fun, even if you're working your balls out like you do, you go and do your 3-minute hill rep sessions on your favorite hill. But the moment you're not actually, afterwards you go, actually, so I worked by it. I enjoyed that. It was stunning up there. You know, I had my dog with me or what have you. The moment you stop enjoying it is when you're doing something wrong and you need to mix it up and change it. And that's something I've learned from the years of doing it. I've had those troughs where your mojo goes after a race and you end up sitting there for, you know, going, oh, I don't fancy running and all that. But why have you lost your mojo? Why have I lost that urge to get out there and lace my trainers, and when I've got beautiful countryside and moors and woods and even roads, you know, it was always been a case of what have I done wrong? You know, why am I injured? Why have I injured myself? What have I done wrong here? It's constant questioning of yourself. And if you don't question yourself, you won't learn. And if you don't challenge yourself, you're not going to learn. And that's, and the other thing is, you know, constantly challenge myself and making things fresh. And that's what keeps me going, you know, and I haven't lost motivation at all, all this year at all. I've had no real blips of motivation. I've had a bit of lethargic times, but I've not had any.
I always say this, you'll have seen my standard answer to it. If someone's lost their mojo, it's one or two things. They either need to remind themselves why they started running, which might sound like a bit hippie or mushy, but it's more the case of, like, look, you had the reason there to begin with. Like you didn't want to become the overweight dad and all that kind of stuff and be blowing around the park. If you're not careful, you can forget that. So it's either that kind of reason, but that they will know it somewhere, they've just forgotten it almost. Or the other thing is just simply tiredness. Like, it's just this. If someone's tired, you're not expected to have mojo or whatever that is, kind of thing, and go and smash out their session or whatever they expect, and that's okay to not have mojo every single day. But this is why I wanted to link to it, is because you've ran every single day for a year,
yeah,
and I assume, I might be guessing, that you haven't wanted to do it every single day.
So I've been lethargic more than that, and not unmotivated.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I wouldn't have gone out.
Yeah.
Even when I still had that motivation in there somewhere. It just had to come out. And I've had, you know, especially more so in the earlier days of when the weather was horrendous during the winter, when you had weeks and weeks of constant pissing down. That was the times when I was like, oof. Oh yeah, okay. Let's just get it done. Yeah. You know, and I'd chuck on my rain jacket, and out I go. And it may take a mile for the legs to go, oh, we're doing this again, are we? All right. And then suddenly you've gone from, I don't know, 9-minute, 8-minute miles to you're suddenly smashing out a fast 10K. You know, in the 7-minute miles, what it is fast for me. Your legs suddenly just switch on and go, right, we're doing it, let's get it done. And then at the end, you're like, thank God, I'm glad I got that done. And I don't think it makes any difference whether you're running every day or whether you're not. Your motivation is in there, and if you don't know how to switch it on, you just end up sitting in the chair, loafing around and comfort eating like I do or what have you. So for me, it's a case of get it done and it's out the way, and then you've got a positive for your day. Mm. And that's what it is for me. You know, whether I'm not an early morning runner, but I have been early morning running since lockdown because I'm working from home as well. So I'm teaching the boy. So I've got to get it all done beforehand and then I don't have to worry about it. And that's basically been my main driven for the last 8 weeks, is getting it done. I've got a positive. So even if I have a rubbish day at work then, or things not going right with the boy in his school, what have you, I've got that positive part already ticked off, and it's going to be a good day regardless of how shitty the rest of the day is. There has been days where I've diddly daddled around, but I've dragged myself out every time and I've been a better person for it.
And did it ever come, like, did you ever feel a bit of a burden on the run streak? Because what I didn't kind of start off with, when you started the run streak, were you aiming, did you have a particular target in mind?
No.
I know you're not stopping tomorrow, so it's not like you're stopping after a year, but is it just, did it ever become...
No, it was literally, I've always done recovery runs after a race. Doesn't matter whether it's a fast 5K or whether it's an ultra. I've always gone out the next day and ticked those legs over. Some people like to sit in the chair and go all stiff and then can't walk up the stairs or go down them. I'm not that person. I've learned that doesn't work for me, so I have to go out. Even if it's a gentle jog, I hate that word jog, but a gentle jog or a bimble, and get those lactic acid out of my legs. And I can walk up and down the stairs and the days after, not a problem. I'm in work going up and down ladders on board ships, not a problem. And it started from there. So I ran the Plymouth Half Marathon supporting a mate. And as my usual ritual, I'd go the next day out for the leg. I was like, I'm feeling pretty strong here. I'm going to go for another run tomorrow. Went for another run. And I went, do you know what? I've just done a week of runs.
Yeah.
Let's see where this can go. The wife was like, no, you're bloody not. I went, yes, I am. She went, that's going to be more washing. I went, it's all right. It'll be all right, love. And then, yeah, the week started ticking off. And eventually I was at 100 odd days. And I've done other races. I was then, I think it was around 120 days in when I had my 36-hour lap race.
Yeah.
And again, I went out the next day after I finished that, did a short 2-mile lap around near my parents where I was staying. Wife came out with me to make sure I didn't collapse and die or something in the road. And she got all pissed off because I was running away faster than her. So, you know, that has always been my thing. It's getting out the next day, and that's how it's continued. It's just, you know, each day has been a recovery run.
Yeah.
But I'm recovering from something different and in a different way. So I've still been training. I've been doing my hill reps. I've been doing my intervals because you never know when the next race is going to happen. So I haven't just been doing a 1-mile recovery run here. I haven't done many 1-milers. Most of my recovery runs have been around 3 miles, some a bit more. But they've all been that easy, really easy pace, anywhere around 10-minute miles to 11, 12 minutes. Sometimes I go on the trails where I have to stop for a walk because I've got to climb over something.
Yeah.
That helps, I think, keep it.
Because like you say, there's lots of runs where I see where you're on runs or whatever, and you might be... You might be messing around making a video. You've done ones where, especially in lockdown, you've been dressed as a dinosaur. And so, but I also see the other side. You do have some structure because you'd be on your Instagram stories, you're telling us about the session that you've done today or whatever. And then the next day, it might be literally just running around with your family or whatever. And I think that kind of approach is really good. Whether you do it on purpose or not, it really polarizes your running. It also, you don't put any pressure on the sessions. Like I've seen you're sweating your bollocks off, in a session, yeah, and afterwards when you've said about, when you've talked us through it, say, but on the other side of it, on a recovery run, a bit like me, if I'm out and I'm doing the dancing, messing around, or shooting a stupid video, I'm not bothered about my pace or anything like that. I'm just out for an hour and enjoying it, and whether that involves me messing around on the camera or not, it really doesn't matter. I think you've got that similar kind of approach.
Yeah, and I think too many people make the mistake of focusing too much on, you know, their pace or their heart rate or what have you, and not focusing on their body itself. And like you, having that little bit of fun, having that part where, all right, okay, I'm gonna walk down, you know, down this hill for a minute or two, let my body just ease down a bit, and then go again, nice and easy. You're giving that body that some TLC, which many people think TLC is, I don't know, sitting in a bath of ice or something like that. No, TLC is listening to your body, in my opinion. And if it's saying, chill out, go for a nice, easy one, it means go for a nice, easy one, not go, yeah, oh, recovery run today, eight minute, 30 miles. Yeah. It's the same as you run the day before, mate.
It's like, someone will ask me, what pace should my recovery run be? It's like, that's completely the wrong question. Like, the recovery run is probably one of the most strictest ones I will give people based on the feeling that they've got. If it's a walk, then it's a walk. If it's a run, then it's a run. But it's, yeah, but it's, there's no way that you should be worried about pace or anything.
No, you shouldn't. And that's where I think a lot of people go wrong. That's why a lot of people get injured. And you've probably seen it. You know, too many people focus incorrectly on their body, and not in the right way. You know, recovery runs should be exactly that. And that's what I've learned, especially during this streak, most of all, is if my body has said, right, okay, you've got a hard session today. However, my body is saying, you're going to need to warm up a bit. You need to go for a nice, gentle bimble first, wake up, and then give it a go. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. Oh, well, such is life. And then warm down afterwards. And then if I have got a recovery session planned in, fucking do it. Yeah. Not go, oh, I'm smashing a set of hill reps while I'm here. No. You know, go out, have some fun, and doing what we do, and having a camera and making a silly video, or even just chatting on an Instagram story while you're going out, automatically slows you down because you're having to talk.
Yeah. I've started telling my lot to just don't even, everyone's got a phone, so don't even wear a watch. Just record it on Strava so you can record it and everything like that, but just go out and run and don't even look at your watch, or don't even...
Yeah, cover it up. Yeah. If you have to wear a watch, I feel naked without it.
Yeah.
I just cover it up, you know, put my sleeve over the top, or put a buff around it so I can't see it, and just go out and, you know, enjoy what we do.
I'm sure, like, although we're saying we're kind of painting ourselves as the ultimate recovery beings, I mean, don't get me wrong, I've been on many a planned recovery session and I've pushed too hard. I've come to a hill and I know that there might be a Strava segment, so I have had a little crack at it or something like that. I'm not saying that you have to be whiter than white with it, but overall it's important to remember, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I've made those mistakes plenty of times. And it's something I knew when I decided, you know what, I'm gonna see how many days I can run in a row.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to actually be a bit more disciplined in my recovery. Because that's where people go wrong in street running. That's where people go wrong in running full stop, is not being disciplined enough in their recovery. And I made sure I was going to be disciplined when it comes to recovery, even if I have to take an extra day. So after the Madness King George 36-hour race, where, you know, that took a lot of beating on my body, I knew for a fact I had to properly make sure I did recovery runs properly afterwards. And even though I was feeling strong, even 2 days in, 3 days in after the race, I could have gone faster. No, I decided, you know what, I'm going to have a nice week of recovery runs.
Yeah.
Nice and easy. The mileage built up slightly, but I didn't I wasn't chasing Strava segments. I wasn't doing lamppost fartlecking or anything like that. I was ticking the legs off, you know, and just keeping moving. And I'm glad because it worked. You know, I carried on. You know, people were going, I can't believe you just ran over 100 miles and you're out running the next day. I was like, well, there you go. You know, do it properly. You can do anything the next day.
I think part of that is experience as well. Because I know for a fact, once you've experienced enough and you've built up to a big race like the one you described, afterwards, if you've done everything right in training or everything that you can do and your race has gone as well as you can have hoped, I love a recovery week afterwards. I've got no interest in pushing myself the week afterwards. The running then is kind of just to satisfy my mind and things like this, because I don't like, I have to be doing something a lot of the time kind of thing. When I'm resting, I'm resting. But yeah, the running side of things, I feel like I need to do it. Otherwise I get kind of, not guilty, but I need that constant in my life kind of thing.
It's routine. I was talking on a podcast a few weeks ago I was interviewed for, and we were talking about routine, and I'm someone who has to work by routine because that's the nature of my job.
Yeah.
You know, we get told when to wake up. We get told when we're going to lunch. We get told when we're having tea, when we go do our jobs, all this sort of stuff.
What uniform
we're going to wear.
Yeah, fill everyone in, mate. Sorry, fill everyone in because I forgot to at the start.
That's right. Well, so I've been in the Navy, the Royal Navy now for quite a few years. I had a gap outside, became a teacher and stuff like that. But I'm still in now. I'm still in the Navy. Still sailing the seven seas, as they say, all over the world. And those that aren't familiar with the military, we are run by routines. And that's what I think. That's why a lot of people like myself have coped very well over this lockdown period, because we've created a routine. It's those that I've seen haven't created themselves a routine. They've gone off all over the place with themselves, be it mentally or physically, you know, lost their mojo. They don't want to go running or whatever because they haven't got a routine. And you mentioning going for your recovery run, you look forward to your recovery runs and stuff like that, getting out, that's your routine, you know. It's your job, but it's part of your routine of your life. And,
yeah,
you know, if you don't have a routine, we all go, you go lethargic, you go wibble, you know.
I find like it doesn't have to be. I can't work as my mind isn't as sharp if I haven't already done my run. You know, like you said, you're not an evening, so you're not a morning runner. Maybe I almost have to get my run out the way before I do anything like work wise. Otherwise, it's playing on my mind all day.
Well,
I haven't got,
you know, Liam Gallagher spoke about that, didn't he? You know, it helps him clear out the closet and puts things in order for him. And I guess, you know, with you, you know, you need to get out and sharpen your mind. It sits, and I understand that fully. You know, when I was running my own business myself many years ago in between the Navy and the Navy now, the running helped me clear the day's stress of running a business. It was also helped me with the running. As I was running along.
There you go. Thanks, Owen. That is part one with Owen's interview about his year of running non-stop. You can catch his Instagram handle in the show notes. And also, if you want to stay updated about all the other podcasts and the YouTube channel that is being revived now, then head on to the show notes and sign up to the free email list. Okay, part two will be out next week.